The Chicago police officer charged with first-degree murder in the shooting death of Laquan McDonald entered a not guilty plea today. This was Jason Van Dyke's first appearance before the judge in the case, a case that many in Chicago say shows the divide between the police and the black community there. Now, the not guilty plea comes as the city is grappling with the aftermath of another fatal police shooting just this past weekend, an incident that killed 19-year-old Quintonio LeGreer on Chicago's west side. And in that case, many are now wondering about how law enforcement officers deal with people in crisis. Because LeGreer reportedly struggled with mental health issues, though his father claims his son was never a threat to police. There is training, though, available for police to deal with people in crisis or those with mental illnesses in Chicago. It's called Crisis Intervention Team Training, or CIT. But in Chicago, only about 15% of the city's police force has received the training. Alexa James is executive director of the National Alliance on Mental Illness of Chicago. They run part of the crisis intervention training for the Chicago police. And Alexa, let me just start by asking, why do you think that percentage is so low right now?
You know, I'm so grateful that we're doing the training, and it's such a wonderful resource for the community. I think the reason is that it's so low is because the program is starved. There just aren't enough resources to support the program's growth. So, you know, about 400 officers are trained every year, but it's not increasing the number, the percentage of the general police department as much as we wish.
Now, of course, Illinois has had some severe budget problems in 2015. I've read that, in fact, there was no money to conduct the crisis intervention training for the first half of the year. Is that right?
Yeah, so we're about six trainings behind right now. So at 35 officers per class, we're definitely missing a big chunk of officers going through the training.
Okay. I'm just trying to sort of suss out exactly what the state of affairs is, because I also read that University of Illinois Chicago professor Amy Watson, who is also involved in the training, says that advocacy groups did indeed try to contact Mayor Rahm Emanuel's office to talk about committing more resources to this kind of training for law enforcement officers, but couldn't even get a call back. Have you experienced that same sort of silence up until now from the mayor's office?
We have heard from the mayor's office as of yesterday, and we are looking forward to partnering with him. You know, he discussed that there's deficiencies within our crisis intervention team training. I don't think the deficiencies are in the training. I think the deficiencies are in the implementation of the training, you know, the dispatch and more officers having the training and the support under their belt. So we're looking forward to partnering with the city and with the police department to make sure that those inefficiencies are more effective.
I mean, is that another way of saying that if it were fully funded, that the training would be adequate?
Absolutely.
Okay. So, you know, we mentioned a little earlier that only about 15% of the Chicago police force has received this crisis intervention training. What's the target number? How many officers should go through this program, and why is that target number important?
We'd like to see at least 30% of the police department CIT trained. We think that this makes officers better officers, period. Law enforcement sign up for this job to support their community, and why not equip them with all of the tools that we can? Crisis intervention team training is a program that supports the officer so that they feel more equipped when dealing with crisis situations, which is a lot of what they commit, which is, you know, a lot of what they have to work with every day on the streets.
Mm. I want to talk with you more about that in just a second, but does that 30% number, does that ensure coverage over every shift and every part of the day around the city with law enforcement? Is that why that's kind of what you aim for?
Well, it's what we aim for because, yeah, we think that it well saturates. But that's a great question. You know, we need leadership from each commanding district to send their officers through the training so that it's not, you know, kind of scattered throughout different communities and not others.
Okay. So let's step back here a little bit. I mean, walk us through, if you could, what happens in crisis intervention training. What do the police officers actually learn?
It's such a magical week, I think. I think it's really, a career and life-changing for officers. You know, I do want to just mention very quickly that mental illness is a public health issue. It's a medical condition, and it is the most stigmatized against a medical condition. And so what we start the week with the officers is humanizing it. We bring panels of people in who've had interactions with the police who are living in recovery from their mental illness. And I really think that that changes the game for the officers. It really eliminates the stigma and reminds them that these are real people with real issues and they need support. These are not criminal behaviors. And then we talk with other agencies and we partner and we link with other community agencies who are doing tremendous work so that officers know how to link people to mental health care. And then we provide role play and de-escalation strategies so that officers know when somebody is in crisis, how can I de-escalate as opposed to agitating? De-escalating somebody who has experienced a mental health crisis is not an inherent skill we have. This is something that needs to be taught, but once learned is a tremendous tool that only supports officers in their day-to-day activities.
Yeah. So I wonder, in the case of Quintonio LeGreer, when his father described him to dispatchers as agitated, I mean, how might the training have worked in that scenario?
Yeah. You know, I think that that's an issue that we need to look at with dispatch. You know, is there an opportunity for the 911 operators to ask more probing questions? You know, what do you mean by agitated, sir? Does your son have a history of using substances? Does your son have a mental health condition? I think if the officers would have been equipped with that knowledge, the interaction and the approach would have been very different.
That also raises the question of the information that the dispatchers themselves are giving to officers on the scene, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Okay. I mean, is that part of the training? Do dispatchers get that training as well?
As far as I know, our OAMC has not gotten refresher training from our CIT program in several years, and that is absolutely an opportunity here for us to partner and make sure that they're getting retrainings. You know, every watch, they're supposed to get a list of officers who are CIT trained so that when a family or an individual calls in crisis, they know exactly who to dispatch to. But what we know here at our office at NAMI Chicago, because we call for CIT at least 3 times a week, that is not happening.
I mean, when you say you call for CIT, you call for an officer who has been trained.
Yeah, we call for families who are calling us in crisis.
I see. Well, I'm wondering, though, today, right now, in this conversation with you, I'm trying to put myself in the shoes of officers who are responding to one of these calls. How is it that they can know that the person that they're dealing with is really struggling with mental illness or actually does then, you know, cross the line to becoming a threat to themselves or the officers as well?
CIT is an officer safety program. Officer safety increases when officers get certified in this training, as do the safety of the individuals who they're supporting during an intervention. So that's what the course teaches, how to see what signs and symptoms are, how to notice triggers, how to stand in a way that is safe to you and others, how to ask questions in a way that is slow and not triggering, understanding that many of these people may be experiencing external stimuli.
Hmm. Finally, Alexa, I'm curious. I mean, it seems as though that there's so many issues wrapped up in what happened in Chicago over the weekend, not the least of which is that, as you said earlier, police officers in this day and age, many, if not most of the calls they deal with, there always is that question about someone in crisis or whether or not the person has a mental illness. I mean, doesn't that speak to a larger problem that we're still relying on law enforcement officers to deal with mental health issues in the community and not perhaps other people who have even deeper training? I mean, are there other models out there where the first line isn't a police officer and rather somebody else?
Yes. Could you imagine if we had an epidemic of diabetes and the police were responding to those people? We absolutely have to invest in the community mental health structure in this city, and that is absolutely the reason why the police are being called. This should not be happening. But police will continue to respond to people with mental health crisis, and so we need to make sure that they have the correct training. There are other models throughout the country that work with kind of like a mobile assessment team or behavioral health units that accompany or support officers through referrals immediately in lieu of hospitalization or, of course, incarceration.
Alexa James is Executive Director of the National Alliance on Mental Illness in Chicago. They run part of the Crisis Intervention Training Program for Chicago police officers. Alexa, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Hef, for having me.